Chapter 46. To Awaken. Rand broke free from the darkness and entered the pattern fully again. From his watching of the pattern, he knew that although only minutes had passed here since he'd entered, in the valley outside this cavern, days had passed, and farther out into the world, it had been much longer. Rand threw Moradin back from the position they'd held during those tense minutes with blades locked. Still full of the one power, so sweet, Rand whipped the blade of Kalandor at his old friend. Moradin got his sword up in time to block, but only barely. He growled, pulling a knife from his belt and stepping back into a knife and sword stance.
"You don't matter any longer, Aelon," Rand said, the torrent of Saiyadin raging within him. "Let us finish this."
"I don't," Moradin laughed.
Then he spun and threw the knife at Elana.
Nynaeve watched in horror as the knife spun through the air. The winds didn't touch it for some reason. No, after she had coaxed the woman back to life. "I cannot lose her now." Nynaeve tried to catch the knife or block it, but she moved just a hair too slowly. The knife buried itself in Alana's breast. Nynaeve looked at it, horrified. This was not a wound that sewing and herbs could heal. That blade hit the heart. "Rand, I need the one power," Nynaeve cried. "It's all right," Alana whispered. Nynaeve looked at the woman's eyes. She was lucid. The Andalay, Nynaeve realized, remembering the herb she'd used to give the woman strength. It brought her out of her stupor. It awakened her. "I can," Alana said. "I can release him." The light faded from her eyes. Nynaeve looked at Moradin and Rand. Rand glanced at the dead woman with pity and sorrow, but Nynaeve saw no rage in his eyes. Alana had released the bond before Rand could feel the effects of her death. Moradin turned back to Rand, another knife in his left hand. Rand raised Kalandor to strike Moradin down. Moradin dropped his sword and stabbed his own right hand with the knife. Rand twitched suddenly and Kalandor dropped from his grip as if his hand somehow hurt from Moradin's attack. The glow emanating from the blade winked out, and the crystalline blade rang as it hit the ground.
Perrin did not hold back in the fight with Slayer. He did not try to distinguish between wolf and man. He finally let everything out, every bit of rage at Slayer, every bit of pain at the deaths of his family, pressures which had been growing inside him unnoticed for months. He let it out. Light he let it out. As he had on that terrible night when he'd killed those white cloaks. Ever since then, he'd clamped a firm grip on himself and his emotions, just as Master Luhan had said. He could see it now, in a frozen moment. Gentle Perrin, always afraid of hurting someone, a blacksmith who had learned control. He had rarely let himself strike with all of his strength. This day he took the leash off the wolf. It had never belonged there anyway. The storm conformed to his rage. Perrin didn't try to keep it back. Why would he? It matched his emotions perfectly. The fall of his hammer was like claps of thunder, the flashing of his eyes like lightning bolts. Wolves howled alongside the wind. Slayer tried to fight back. He jumped, he shifted, he stabbed. Each time Perrin was there, jumping at him as a wolf, swinging at him as a man, buffeting him like the tempest itself. Slayer got a wild look in his eyes. He raised a shield, trying to put it between himself and Perrin. Perrin attacked. Without thought now, he became instinct only. Perrin roared, smashing his hammer into that shield time and time again, driving Slayer before him, beating the shield like a stubborn length of iron, pounding away his anger, his fury. His last blow threw Slayer back and flung the shield from the man's hands, sending it spinning 100 feet in the air.
Slayer hit the valley floor and rolled, gasping. He came to rest in the middle of the battlefield, shadowy figures rising all around him and dying as they fought in the real world. He looked at Perrin with panic, then vanished. Perrin sent himself into the waking world to follow. He appeared amid the battle, Aiel against Trollocs in a furious fight. The winds were surprisingly strong on this side, and black clouds spun above Shael Ghul, which rose like a crooked finger into the sky. The nearby Aiel barely took time to notice him. The bodies of Trollocs and humans lay in heaps across the battlefield, and the place stank of death. The ground had once been dusty here, but now it churned with mud made from the blood of the fallen. Slayer pushed through a group of Aiel nearby, growling, slashing with his long knife. He didn't look back, and it didn't seem that he knew Perrin had followed him into the real world. A new wave of shadow spawn pushed in off the slope, out of a silvery white mist. Their skin looked strange, pocked with holes, their eyes milky white. Perrin ignored these and barreled after Slayer.
"Young bull!" Wolves. "The Shadow Brothers are here. We fight."
Dark hounds. Wolves hated all shadow spawn. An entire pack would die pulling down a murdrawl. But dark hounds they feared. Perrin looked around to spot the creatures. Ordinary men could not fight dark hounds, whose mere saliva was death. Nearby, the human forces broke before a tide of black wolves the size of horses. The wild hunt. Light. Those dark hounds were enormous. Scores of the jet-black, corrupted wolves ripped through the defensive lines, throwing Tyran and Damani soldiers about as if they were rag dolls. Wolves attacked the dark hounds, but in vain. They screamed and howled and died. Perrin raised his voice alongside their cries of death, a ragged yell of rage. For the moment, he could not help. His instincts and passions drove him. Slayer. He had to defeat Slayer. If Perrin did not stop Slayer, the man would shift to the world of dreams and kill Rand. Perrin turned and ran through the fighting armies, chasing after the distant figure ahead. Slayer had gained a lead by Perrin's distraction, but the man had slowed a little. He had not yet realized that Perrin could leave the world of dreams. Ahead, Slayer stopped and inspected the battlefield. He glanced back and saw Perrin. Then his eyes widened. Perrin couldn't hear his words over the din, but could read Slayer's lips as he whispered,
"No. No, it can't be."
"Yes," Perrin thought.
"I can follow you now wherever you run. This is a hunt. You, finally, are the prey."
Slayer vanished and Perrin shifted into the wolf dream after him. The people fighting around him became patterns in the dust, exploding and reforming. Slayer yelled in fright at seeing him, then shifted back into the waking world. Perrin did likewise. He could smell Slayer's trail. Slick with sweat, panicked. To the dream, then to the waking world again. In the dream, Perrin ran on four legs as Young Bull. In the waking world, he was Perrin, hammer held aloft. He shifted back and forth between the two as frequently as he blinked, chasing Slayer. When he hit a patch of fighting bodies, he would jump into the wolf dream and crash through the figures made of sand and blown dust, then shift back into the waking world to keep on the trail. The shifting started to happen so quickly he flickered between the two with each heartbeat. Thump! Perrin raised his hammer, leaping off a small ridge after the scrambling form ahead. Thump! Young Bull howled, summoning the pack. Thump! Perrin was close now, only a few steps behind. Slayer's odor was pungent. Thump! The spirits of wolves appeared around Young Bull, howling their thirst for the hunt. Never had a prey deserved it more. Never had a prey done more damage to the packs. Never had a man been more feared. Thump! Slayer stumbled. He twisted as he fell, sending himself to the wolf dream by reflex. Thump! Perrin swung Mahalaneer, emblazoned with the leaping wolf. He who soars. Thump! Young Bull leaped for the throat of the killer of his brothers. Slayer fled. The hammer connected. Something about this place, this moment, sent Perrin and Slayer into a spiraling series of flickers between worlds. Back and forth, flashes of moments and thoughts. Flicker, flicker, flicker. Men died around them, some of dust, some of flesh. Their world alongside shadows of other worlds. Men in strange clothing and armor, fighting beasts of all shapes and sizes. Moments where the Aiel became Shonchan, who became something between the two, with spears and light eyes, but helmets shaped like monstrous insects. In all of those moments, in all of those places, Perrin's hammer struck, and Young Bull's fangs grabbed Slayer by the neck. He tasted the salty warmth of Slayer's blood in his mouth. He felt the hammer vibrate as it hit, and he heard bones crack. The worlds flashed like bolts of lightning. Everything crashed, shook, then pulled together. Perrin stood on the rocks in the valley of Thakandar, and Slayer's body crumpled in front of him, head crushed. Perrin panted, the thrill of the hunt clinging to him. It was over. He turned, surprised to find that he was surrounded by Aiel. He frowned at them.
"What are you doing?"
One of the maidens laughed.
"You looked like you were running to a great dance, Perrin Ebarra. One learns to watch for warriors like you on the battlefield and follow. They often have the most fun."
He smiled grimly, surveying the battlefield. It was not going well for his side. The Darkhounds ripped apart the defenders in a ruthless frenzy. The way up to Rand was completely exposed.
"Who commands this battle?" Perrin asked.
"Nobody now," the maiden said. He did not know her name. "Rodal Aitoralda did first. Then Darlin Cisnera led, but his command post fell to Drakkar. I have not seen any Aes Sedai or clan chiefs in hours."
Her voice was grim. Even the stalwart Aiel were flagging. A quick scan of the battlefield showed Perrin that the remaining Aiel fought wherever they were, often in small groups, doing as much harm as they could before being cut down. The wolves who had fought here in packs were broken, their sendings those of pain and fear, and Perrin didn't know what those shadowspawn with the pocked faces meant. The battle was finished, and the sight of light had lost. The Darkhounds broke through the line of dragons sworn nearby, the last group who held falling before them. A few tried to flee, but one of the Darkhounds leapt on them, pushing several to the ground and gnawing one. Frothing saliva sprayed across the others, and they dropped, twitching. Perrin lowered his hammer, then knelt, pulling off Slayer's cloak and wrapping the cloth around his hands as he picked up his hammer again.
"Don't let their spittle touch your skin. It is deadly."
The Aiel nodded, those with bare hands wrapping them. They smelled of determination, but also resignation. Aiel would run toward death if it was the only option, and would laugh while doing so. Wetlanders thought them mad, but Perrin could smell the truth on them. They were not mad. They did not fear death, but they did not welcome it.
"Touch me, all of you," Perrin said.
The Aiel did so. He shifted them to the wolf dream. Taking so many was a strain, like bending a bar of steel, but he managed it. He immediately shifted them to the path up to the Pit of Doom. The spirits of wolves gathered here, silent. Hundreds of them. Perrin brought the Aiel back to the waking world, his shift placing him and his small force between Rand and the Darkhounds. The wild hunt looked up, corrupted eyes shining like silver as they fixed on Perrin.
"We will hold here," Perrin said to his Aiel, "and hope that some others aid us."
"We will stand,"
one of the Aiel said, a tall man wearing one of those headbands marked with Rand's symbol.
"And if we do not," another said, "and we wake instead, then we will at least water the earth with our blood and let our bodies nourish the plants that will now grow here."
Perrin had barely noticed the plants growing, incongruously, green and vibrant in the valley. Small, but strong. A manifestation of the fact that Rand still fought. The Darkhounds slunk toward them, tails down, ears back, fangs exposed, gleaming like blood-stained metal. What was that he heard over the wind? Something very soft, very distant.
It seemed so soft that he shouldn't have noticed it, but it pierced through the clamor of war. Faintly familiar.
I know that sound,
Perrin said. Sound? The Aiel maiden said. What sound? The calls of the wolves?
No,
Perrin said as the dark hounds began to lope up the path.
The horn of Valir.
The heroes would come, but upon which battlefield would they fight? Perrin could expect no relief here, except...
Lead us, young bull.
Why must the heroes all be human? A howl rose in the same pitch as that of the sounded horn. He looked upon a field suddenly filled with a multitude of glowing wolves. They were great pale beasts, the size of dark hounds. The spirits of those wolves who had died, then gathered here, waiting for the sign, waiting for the chance to fight. The horn had called them. Perrin let loose a yell of his own, a howl of pleasure, then charged forward to meet the dark hounds. The last hunt had finally, truly arrived. Matt left Ulver with the heroes again. The boy looked like a prince, riding in front of Noel as they attacked the Trollocs and prevented anyone from climbing that path to kill Rand. Matt borrowed a horse from one of the defenders who still had one, then galloped over to find Perrin. His friend would be among those wolves, of course. Matt did not know how those hundreds of big, glowing wolves had entered the battlefield, but he was not going to complain. They met the wild hunt head-on, snarling and savaging the dark hounds. Howls from both sides flooded Matt's ears. He passed Samael fighting a dark hound, but the people did not stand a chance. They tripped the beast, hacking at it, but it pulled back together as if it were made of darkness and not flesh, then ripped into them. Blood and bloody ashes. Those Aiel weapons did not even seem to scratch it. Matt continued galloping, avoiding the tendrils of silvery mist making their way across the whole valley. Light. That mist was approaching the path up to Rand. It was picking up speed, rolling over Aiel, Trollocs, and Dark Hounds alike. There, Matt thought, picking out a man fool enough to fight Dark Hounds. Perrin slammed his hammer down on a dark hound's head, cracking it and forcing it into the ground. When he raised his hammer, it trailed smoke behind it. The dark hound, amazingly, remained dead. Perrin turned, then stared.
Matt, he called. What are you doing here?
Coming to help, Matt said. Against my bloody better judgment.
You can't fight dark hounds, Matt,
Perrin said as Matt rode up beside him.
I can, and so can the last hunt.
He cocked his head, then looked toward the sound of the horn. No, Matt said, I didn't sound it. That bloody burden has passed to someone who actually seems to enjoy it.
It's not that, Matt,
Perrin stepped up, reaching and taking him by the arm as he sat mounted.
My wife, Matt, please, she had the horn.
Matt looked down, feeling grim. The lad said, like Perrin Fael was at Merilor, and led the Trollocs away from Ulver so he could escape with the horn.
Then she could still be alive,
Perrin said. Yes, of course she could, Matt said.
What else could he say?
Perrin, you need to know something else. Fain is here on this battlefield.
Fain?
Perrin growled.
Where?
He's in that mist. Perrin, he's brought Mashadar somehow. Don't let it touch you.
I was in Shadar Logoth too, Matt, Perrin said. I have a debt to settle with Fain.
And I don't, Matt said. Perrin's eyes opened wide. He stared at Matt's chest. There, a small white ribbon of silvery mist, Mashadar's mist, had speared Matt from behind through the chest. Matt looked at it, jerked once, then tumbled off his horse.